Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Nature's Mirror of Symmetry by Cheryl Kane from Lit Prime Solutions takes us beyond the normal 3D reality and shows us a whole new dimension that few see. This is the dimension of the hidden third, where the divine center is. Here we find patterns of divine aspects that come up over and over again in everything, including ourselves. We begin to see a divine in everything. When a review calls Nature's Mirror of Symmetry a real look into nature inside and out. Very insightful, even groundbreaking. Some nature, you see nature like you've never seen it before. Cheryl studied psychology, mythology, and art all of her adult life. Working on her photographs in her photo workshop, she found a way of turning all her photos into fourfold symmetry. It has taken her on a 20-year journey of discovery. And she shares that discovery in her highly acclaimed book, Nature's Mirror of Symmetry. And author Cheryl Kane is our guest on This Week in America. Cheryl, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Nice to be here.
I am looking so much forward to talking to you about this book. You've done such a wonderful job with this. And I gave a little bit of background. It's important to know who you are. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. I just did it in like about a dozen words. Tell us a little bit more about you.
Right. Well, I've always been interested in psychology and mythology and art and other cultures. And so I put all those together in this book. I also, when I retired from my previous job, I started teaching art in the grade schools where I live. And I taught the children about symmetry. And in the process, I learned myself. So that's why I start my book with Unless You Become as a Little Child, because that's a good place to start.
Well, it really is. As I'm reading that, I'm thinking, let's go back to that state where our mind was open and all these new ideas, we were in awe of everything. There's something magical about that state in being a child. And you mentioned travel a little bit. That's important in shaping who you are and your vision of the world and your work in the book. And we'll talk about that as we go through. The title of the book is Nature's Mirror of Symmetry. Tell us a little bit, broad strokes, about what the book is about.
The book is about what symmetry actually shows us. To the ancients, mirror images were almost considered magical. And I never understood that until I started doing this project with my pictures, where I used software to look into my pictures, and they put all four sides of the pictures into symmetry, and you not only get the symmetry, but you get a new center in each one of those symmetry. And that's what started me realizing that this was patterns, not just at random, you know, because of the picture I took.
Yes.
These are in all pictures, not just my pictures, or, you know, they're in every single picture. It's like a DNA for nature.
What a great way to put that, because that really summarizes the book we're talking about is Nature's Mirror of Symmetry by Cheryl Kane. That's C-A-I-N-E. I'll give you all the information where you can get the book. Cheryl's website, very informative website. You can order the book there as well, is CherylKane.com. I'll give you all of that as we go through the program. Book at Amazon. You'll find all that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Interesting how you began to learn about symmetry. Talk about where that first came to mind, and if this is something that took a while before you actually, sort of a transformation you went through in studying symmetry.
Well, you know, when I ever took pictures of natural reflections, like the river reflecting the land, sometimes I would put them on vertically rather than horizontally.
Yes.
And I was always surprised at what would be there when I put it horizontally, vertically rather than horizontally, because we can't see the symmetry except sort of glossed over and what is in the middle of it until we have it in the vertical. So I started finding that interesting, but then when I found the software that put everything in symmetry, it's fourfold symmetry for every picture, I started, you know, with the computer, you can put things any way you want, and I started putting them on vertically by habit, just to see what it was. And over time, I started seeing patterns. It wasn't just, I'm doing this because I'm curious, or I'm doing this because I'm an artist and I want, you know, to find pretty designs and things like that. I started seeing real patterns, and I started categorizing them, and I started wondering what they meant. And that's when I started research on these patterns that I started to see.
I mentioned this is a journey that Cheryl was on, a 20-year journey. It sounds like that journey is still continuing and you're learning new things. It's such a fascinating, fascinating book. The book
the
is called...
The day it stops is the day I die.
You can just keep working and working and finding out new things. You mentioned patterns. What are some of the patterns you find in the center of symmetry?
Okay, there's masculine and feminine, of course. And the feminine patterns are in a pattern of ADNA, which is literally a picture of the feminine DNA genome or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, okay, yes.
And a picture of that, and they have other images that are like, okay, so there's Mother Nature. Mother, there's the mother, there's the dove, there's the owl, there's the sow, the white sow, there's Spider Woman. These are the main archetypes that I'm seeing over and over and over again for the feminine. For the masculine is the bee DNA. And it's in the pattern of the B DNA that you can see the first picture of DNA done by Rosalind Franklin. And with the masculine, you see the scarab, you see the charioteer, you see the kings, the sun kings. You see the wild man or the green man, and you see the bat.
This is fascinating. Our guest on the program is Cheryl Kane. If you're looking for her book, Googling it. Cheryl is Cheryl. Kane is Caine. The book is Nature's Mirror of Symmetry. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. CherylKane.com is her website. When you started discovering all of this, unlocking a new way of life for you as you're looking at things, a different way of looking at nature, a different way of looking at life, talk about that inspiration then to write this book. How did that come about that you decided, okay, I'm going to write Nature's Mirror of Symmetry?
Well, I started experiencing some of these archetypes that I was finding. Okay, so I experienced the experience of the scarab. I experienced this experience of Spider Woman. Different things I would start to experience through dreams, through journaling, and that kind of thing. And so I realized that this is not just nature. I'm part of nature. It's part of me. And so I had to start learning what it was I was relating to. What am I relating to? What is in me that is just like the pictures I've been seeing?
Yes.
And I did research with two books in particular that are excellent reference books. One is The Woman's Dictionary of Myth and Secrets by Barbara Walker. And the other is the Women's Dictionary of Symbols and Sacred Objects by Barbara Walker as well. She won the best book of the year from London Times in 1986, I believe. And I also have been studying Jungian psychology, and he talks about these archetypes and how they affect his patients and himself. And so I've put all these together, and it has been, like you say, a real journey. The reason I wrote it is I feel like it's somewhat of a secret I was holding. Yes. I didn't know what to do with it.
Well, share it. That's the best thing you can do. And it's touching so many people. The reviews have been excellent for Nature's Mirror of Symmetry. As people look into this process, are there any cautions that you would, any warnings, cautions, any negatives that you would advise them about as they begin the process?
Yes. When I started working with symmetry and doing all my pictures, I was into it for the fun of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I was into it for artistic value, period. But when I started realizing that this was archetypical, this was even divine, I started realizing that my ego was not in control here. This is not something you play with. This isn't something you use and then do what you please. This is something that says to you, now what have you learned? What are you learning? Have you learned anything? You know, what are you going to do with it once you learn it?
Yes.
And that kind of thing. It's a two-way street at some point.
People would be listening and going, boy, this really sounds fascinating what Cheryl has done. Love the concept of the book, Nature's Mirror of Symmetry. But how does this relate to me? If someone said, how does this relate to people? How would you answer that?
Well, like, for instance, the scarab is the ancient symbol of Egypt that was so sacred to them, that was all over King Tut's and all the buildings. It was the sacred one that pushed the sun up and into the light of day. The razor of consciousness is what it was.
Yes.
And so I had an experience where I actually felt as if I was having consciousness raised. And it was after the day, it was on the day where I had been enlarging pictures of scarabs to use for mask making for children. And I had spent the day making a little tiny picture of a scarab into a child's face, a size. And that night I would spend all afternoon enlarging these pictures, and I saw a movie on TV about a little man, so I was doing this for the little people and the children, a little man using a scarab, a bug that he had made, to go up into a government building and shoot a Nazi major general. Huh. And, you know, this is such a weird, you know, imagery.
Yes.
That it made, and it had happened on the day that I had been doing this for the little people, okay, that I knew that this was a message. And so in psychology, synchronistic experiences are a way of learning where the sacred center is and what you need to learn. Okay, so if it's synchronistic to you, then you know you're on your path, and you know, hey, you have something to learn. So all these experiences, another thing was Spider Woman. I had a dream of Spider Woman, and she showed me that I didn't have to stand in line and get a fate, that I could actually be a co-creator of my destiny, and that she would help me do it.
Interesting.
Spider-Woman taught me that I could do that. And so I see Spider-Woman over and over and over again in Symmetry.
Cheryl Cain is our guest on the program. The book is Nature's Mirror of Symmetry. You'll find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places, and information. And you can order as well on Cheryl's website, which is CherylCain.com. I'll give you all of the spelling here in a few minutes as we wrap up the program. This is fascinating. You decide to write the book, and you've given us the reasons for that. Talk about what you hope the takeaway is. Who should read the book, and what do you hope they learn after reading Nature's Mirror of Symmetry?
It should be interesting, because we are living in very transforming times. And I think that with COVID-19, we are being reboot. We're not going to be able to come out of this and do business as usual. And we are looking into ourselves. We are being isolated. We are having to do things differently than we normally do, which is always conscious raising. We are seeing our weaknesses, both collectively and personally. And we're having to work on them. And that's a time when this symmetry is, and synchronistic experiences and new ways of looking at things are important. And everyone who is interested in their own nature, their own and nature itself, you know, we have to look at nature differently. That's all there is to it. We can't consider it just the same old way where we are dominant over it and we take from it what we want and then we dump it. You know, that way of thinking is very old school. It's okay for making tons of money, but it isn't okay if we want the planet to be sustainable.
And you talk a lot about that, and a few minutes left in the program, going by so quickly, but in the beginning of the book, you talk about Einstein saying that we need to look deeply into nature. You will understand everything better. Talk about that briefly. I mean, here's a guy, okay, everybody's heard of Einstein. It's like, wow, whatever he says, we really need to follow. He was onto something there, wasn't he?
Well, you know, I think he was a very observant, of course, person. The more you observe nature, the more you realize how much you do not know about nature and how much you need to know about nature. You know, it's just like science, I think, has been more of treating nature like it's an it.
Yes.
And we learn about it for what it's good, what we can take from it. But we don't learn about it for what we can learn from it, what we can actually grow and evolve. I think that's the next step, is we have to evolve, because the way we are dealing with nature is no longer functioning and will actually destroy the planet and ourselves.
Well, and you bring up something interesting there, talking about how, and I've noticed this, and I've noticed it for years, just out walking and enjoying the outdoors, you rarely see children playing outdoors. Are we as parents, and in some case educators, dropping the ball here? Because this is obviously, you know, the next generation, and they're learning about nature, what we consider nature to be, which you just mentioned, not in its proper perspective or proper place.
Right. You know, when I started teaching children about art, I asked every single class, first through sixth grade in three different schools, how do you get inspiration for art? Not one child mentioned nature.
Amazing.
Now that is chilling. That was frightening. You know, in science, they learn from nature all the time. I mean, I hope, but I don't know what they're learning, you know, how they're applying it. That's the whole thing. They may learn from nature, but they might not apply what they're learning. We don't understand what they're learning. You know, it's science is kind of a elite kind of a thing. We need to make this learning from nature to be commonplace. Everyone learns from it.
Let me take another 30 seconds here at the end, Art. And this has always irritated me. Whenever school districts go through funding problems, the first thing they look at is, well, we can eliminate art. Let's cut back on that. Boy, this right. is where our foundation, isn't it, for imagination, creation, all of this creativity comes out of art?
That's for sure. I mean, without imagination, that's another thing that Einstein said. We don't know what to do with the information we have. Without imagination, I mean, he said that imagination was worth more than information.
Interesting. Well, we're back to this Einstein guy again that seems to know seems to know exactly what he's talking about. And I will go back to some of the quotes. We begin to see the divine in everything, a real look into nature inside and out, and see nature like you never saw it before. That glowing words and well-deserved for the book Nature's Mirror of Symmetry by Cheryl Kane. Cheryl is C-H-E-R-Y-L. Kane is C-A-I-N-E. Our website, CherylKane.com, book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places, and all of this available on our website, ThisWeekInAmerica.us. Cheryl, the time has gone by so quickly. It's been way too quickly. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for sharing Nature's Mirror of Symmetry. Excellent job with this. I know you're continuing in this journey, continuing to learn, so hopefully we'll have a chance to do this again, and we'll be with you all the way on the journey. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you for letting me talk.
It is our pleasure. Cheryl Kane, Nature's Mirror of Symmetry. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.